Welcome to chapter number 5. This is one of the most important chapter in the entire course, and it is majorly covering software development process. It is basically called as SDLC, that is software development lifecycle, but intentionally I put system because sometime it may be misleading that it is simply the software development. But when any IT project is to be handled, it is a complete system which consists of number of elements, not only the software part. It has got hardware, it has got interfacing devices, it has got network, front end, back end, so many aspects are there. That is why it is a system development lifecycle. So we will see the different versions of system development. Fundamentally, it is a life cycle, that is a complete project. When it goes from start to end, it is a complete cycle. And that is cyclic in a sense, it is repetitive, recursive. It is not the end of the story, because still after development, it of course contradict to our definition of project, because project has to be a closure, but the maintenance cycle is going to be continue in the development part of it. That is why it is called development cycle. So we'll see the first basics of software development cycle, and then we'll see the different versions which develop over a period. So you can see it is a cycle of 6 phases. Okay. Now this is something which is well established by international standards. Generally it is IEC, which is Electrotechnical Commission, and accepted by our industry. So these are the important phases. With some modification, we will see that various upgraded versions of this basic life cycle. So it is a cycle which basically meant to streamline the process in high quality software development, wherever we go from customer requirement to final deliverables. So it is going through the different stages, right? And there is a flow that is we have to maintain. This is what we are going to understand in SDLC. So what are the different acts within the process? So there are various activities that first we'll understand. So once you define the process, it is the implementation part. So it will start planning. After the planning, once you know the scope, requirement, planning, we already seen all these aspects. After that, we have planned the things, and we are now at this floor where we are going to introduce, or we are going to start the implication. So process implication is first important thing. So after the implication, you understand what architectural design you want to develop. Because like any building, when you develop a tower or building, first the architectural design is there in front of you on the desk, and accordingly you plan the further tasks which you are in line up to build the tower. Same way the project, even in software development cycle, is going to be a process where you begin with system architecture. Now here you notice that system software is alternatively used in this, so it is oblique. That is why I put the system SDLC as a system as well as software. So software architecture, once you understand the system where all other elements are there, now you come down to software development. Now you have to understand what OS it has to be compatible with, what sort of APIs, what sort of logics, algorithms that you are going to incorporate, and all those aspects or programming language there you are going to adapt. All those things will come in line. Then you will have a coding part, which is hard code coding. You have programmers and you give modules to develop, and parallelly it has to be tested. Module level testing, unit level testing, we'll discuss about it in detail. Then once the software get integrated by clubbing multiple modules along with the interfacing hardwares and all other aspects, now we have to understand the qualification testing, in the sense we have to understand with integration of various softwares or multiple modules how it works as a whole together. Similarly, system qualification, when we talk about all hardware aspects, network, communication protocols, everything, when you integrate, how as a system it works. So that is called qualification testing. Then there is a software acceptance support. Now acceptance is generally done by the end users or the customers for whom you are developing this application, right, or project. So that is what acceptance we have to see, whether we are lagging any requirement or we are missing some scope, that you have to see. Then you have to do some analysis, requirement analysis and software requirement analysis, those aspects we are getting to the content. Okay. So these are software detail design, software integration, system integration, software. It is a part of continuous cycle, right? Because it is a process of development, right? And then finally it goes to complete acceptance and then final installation. So that is how these are the major activities which will be involved in complete software development cycle. Now, first model we are going to see is very simplest one, which is initially developed, which is called waterfall model. Name itself express what is it? It is going like a water from top to down. So it is flowing from requirement analysis, design and planning, development, testing, deployment, and then maintenance. But you can notice here there is no cycle as such. It is a sequential flow. It is very easy, but it is not that suitable for the level of complexity or the vast scope of the project where you are handling. That is why we are coming up with other models, which we'll discuss subsequently. So this is one of the very simplest one. Maybe academic level this may work out, but not at that industry level. It has got a lot of shortcomings. So what we are going to see in the consecutive models, I will discuss and explain about the model, followed by there are advantages and disadvantages of each model. So you can understand the suitability of that model in your particular project, how that is basically suit into that project or not. So advantages is simplest and easy to understand. So it is simply the sequential action, and phase by phase it is going through, and deliverables are as each phase we have to understand and move ahead. And you have to review, and all those processes will be there, part and partial in that entire process. It has got structural approach. This highly structured model, which make it easier to manage due to it's rigid, but it is rigid. Now this itself is a, we can take it as advantage because things are very clear and rigid. So we are not going to incorporate any changes. So things are simple and structured, but this itself become a disadvantage in more complex project. Each phase must be completed before moving to the next stage, ensuring thorough documentation and design. So each phase has to be over, then we'll move on to the next one. So it is very much that we have to document, assign, complete every phase, and then we move to the next phase. So we have clear milestone, obviously, because we know exactly where we are to complete the phase, what are the deliverables in each phase. Milestones are very clear and we are very much fixed on that. It is well documented, so it is of course going to be helpful. Even there are changes in the people or manpower, it doesn't affect because it is well documented. Obviously, all the processes we are going to have well documented things that will help us in any project development. Easy to manage, early detection of deficiencies. So these are all clear-cut explanations. You can go through it. I did not elaborate. So life cycle, only thing wherever I feel the pointers which are important, I will just try to elaborate on that. So problems are identified early in the life cycle because of thorough documentation and review process. So every phase has got very much testing involved in that. And after that, the documentation and freezing of the review, that is very important. So that any defect is there will be taken care at that testing phase before moving on to the final deployment. But there are drawbacks which I already mentioned, inflexibility. Since it is rigid, the change are not that easily accepted or not at all accepted. So it is not adaptive. So that is a drawback, especially in the projects where things are evolving always, and there will be new requirement, new aspects which come into the business. So we have to adapt them, and that is not possible with this. It has got late testing. Testing only done after development process. So it is not advisable because there are many things which we skip in the development and we realize only at the time of testing. And then it becomes difficult to rectify because that costs more man hours as well as more efforts. So discovering the major issues making more expensive and time consuming. Assume stable requirement. See, this is a model where we just ensure that every requirement is not going to be changed over a period, which is practically difficult, but that is what is the bottom line in this type of model. risk of high cost and delay. So any error changes required late in the project, it is going to be entire sequence that we have to follow. So it is going to cost more, and it is going to lead to the delays in terms of time also. It will expand and it will be a lengthy one. Limited customer involvement. This is most important fact about this type of model. Since the customer involvement is very restricted and not in the development phase especially, it is going to lead to a lot of issues as you deploy the project and people start using it. Because customers are not involved, they are not responsible for any issues which will crop up at the final end, at the time of actual uses. So poor suitability for complex and long-term project, which I mentioned already. So now we are moving on to the next type, which is again a cycle, SDLC cycle, but now we are going to have prototyping, which is very useful. So instead of going to deploy entire fully developed project, at various stages, we can develop a prototype which will be suitable to involve customer or end user to test the prototype so that he can give the feedback, and that feedback can be incorporated, and the correction and many issues, any problems that are there, those will be taken care as and when there itself. So it will not propagate over a period and may not expand to the extent that at the final stage it become a very critical. So prototyping is advisable means of process development. So when you have some sort of prototype, you just show it to the customer, let him work on it, give the feedback. So there is a closed loop where you work on the feedback, change maybe sometime requirement also. Many times customer himself is not aware of or not clear about. So we have to take into consideration. Once he see the things happening, then he realize, no, it is not like this, it should be like this. Then we can incorporate accordingly. So prototyping is very, very useful means of development. So as I said, improved user involvement and feedback. This is very important fact about software prototyping. So you are interacting with the end user continuously at the early stage. So you know the functionality, design, usability, all those important key facts which will be taken care by because of the customer's involvement. Okay, and they also take the responsibility of that. So tomorrow, any issues are there, you can always see that the customer is there to take responsibility of the whatever development happened. It is partly is a part of the development cycle itself. You are involving the customer or end user, to be specific. So clarifies requirement. So many times this is what I said, customer himself is not aware of things and requirements, so we can refine the things. So user can see how it is working, and accordingly it can articulate, or even the misunderstandings, overlooks, scopes, everything will be taken care by, because they can see the things happening. May not be at that scale, but at the real modes of operations. So he will come out with the ideas. No, that may be altered like this. So, and you can easily incorporate that at this stage. So early detection of issues, and of course, likelihood it will be less costly to rework on this, and even time-wise it is going to be beneficial. It enhances the communication, serves visual and functional tools that enhance communication between developers, stakeholders and end user, because the end user can see the things happening. So he will be completely involved in it, and he can realize the ultimate how my product will be, how my project will be. So he can always give additional technical, non-functional inputs which will be incorporated and adapted very easily. So there are advantages of software prototyping. Again, I'm telling you so many things. It will reduce development time and cost, increase flexibility. These are points which are elaborated in the text, and of course you can go through it. Risk management. This is one of the important aspects. Since the things are happening with the customer, there is a minimizing way of handling the risk. So we are taking care in the process itself so that any risk should not pop up and propagate to the extent that it become a big issue. So we understand user needs and demonstrate them, and they can accept it. So accordingly, risk aspect is taken care of. And even better design decisions. See, even like user interface, the user friendliness, since the people are involved directly, end user are directly involved, he can give his feedback or its inputs on which you can work on. So your design will be always better. User training and acceptance happen parallelly, because he's involved, customer people are there, so they can be accustomed or they can get used to that software or project, and they are always there, party of that total development. So there will be less resistance to change or accept in the new project, because you are involving the stakeholders or the end users in the entire process, and that is a good idea to get a good acceptance from the end users finally. So that is what next point is, stakeholder buy-in. So working prototype can help secure stakeholder buy-in and investment. So investment, suppose stakeholder is of course an investor maybe, or the maybe business heads, they can see the things happening before it is being deployed, and they get the feel of it, and that is really going to help them or give them pleasure. And for you also, it is very useful, so that you get the points where you need to improvise at an early stage, and so that it will be easy task for you. So that is about prototyping. Now, next model we are going to discuss is called V-shaped model. Now here, what you notice there, see, there is lot of forward and upward and downward movement, or we can say up, down and left, right type of arrows are there. So if you go from requirement down, primary design and a detailed design. So what is that aspect is, many times the project, as I said previously, even requirements are not clear to the end users unless they see the things happening. So that is what. So once the requirement is there, you can first start preliminary design and then you go to detailing. It is like abstraction. So you design some abstract level, make a prototype, show to them, then they come out with further improvisation, refinement. You go into detailing of the design, accordingly modify the things. So it is like an upward and downward movement. So you can see the final is a coding one. So coding itself is a continuous process. Okay. Now, right hand side, you can see system testing. So the development and the testing, they are going to be a parallel part of it. And it is also cyclic, repeating upward, downward, right? And even in between, there is a planning. So planning is continuous process, and at all stages, system testing, then integration testing and unit testing. See, unit code is unit. Suppose you develop one small unit out the out total project, which may be just a 5% part of the entire project covering that scope. Okay. So, but you get that unit tested. So you are ensuring that that unit is perfectly working with the inputs and outputs. Now, when you plug in that module with another module, like that, you have multiple units which you have already tested. Maybe at the integration level, that is the upper level, you can see that integration level, you realize some issues, then you have to take the corrective factors, and accordingly modification can be done again, maybe at the coding level, and you can see the interface is working properly and all that. And then you can go further on to the system level, where multiple users will be involved, and you can see the scope and you know, load, total load of the end users, how it is taking at a system level and how it is responding to the entire operations. So it is like a continuous process of loop, and everywhere the requirement also modifying as well as testing. So it is parallel, not like waterfall model. So things are moving left, right, as well as up, down. Further on, we can see the V, why it is called V-shape model. The next slide is explaining this. So there are two distinct life cycles. One is developer life cycle, another is tester life cycle. So testing and development is hand in hand, going parallelly, right? So at the requirement level, at the system level, then design level, low level coding. So coding is of course the key part of it, bottom part of it. And you can see the downward movement and upward movement. So testing, you can realize that there is a unit testing, component level testing, system integration testing, and final acceptance. And the left hand side, you can see that there is a verification phase. So validation and verification, from that, and even from looking at the shape of the overall process, it is specifically called as a V-shaped model. So V for verification, V for validation, and further on you can see the process documentation. So you have to verify. So what is the difference between verification and validation? Verification is a development part, that is, we are verifying each stage, all the aspects of the requirements and design, testing, all you are taking care, verifying. And then you are validating it, whether it is done or whether it is accepted, fulfilled, fail, or it is not perfect, all those aspects. So you can implement that validation on the right hand side. And it is of course going through the coding. So coding is a key part, but it is a lateral part, which is going to be there throughout the process, but it is a continuous development testing, which is going on parallelly. So this is very important V-shaped model, which is nice one, and it ensures a lot of advantages. So one is obvious, early test, planning. So you are planning right from the requirement level. Even you are verifying the requirement, and then even making the system requirement, acceptance level testing requirements accordingly. So test cases and use cases, both are done parallelly. And it is involvement of tester as well as developer in sync. So they get the better idea how the things can be developed as well as how this can be verified or tested or validated. This is very important aspect, right? When the V-shaped model gives this particular process, in this particular way of handling it, it has got clear structure and phases, as we saw in the previous slide, the figure. So it has got defined, well-defined, distinct, well-defined phases in the entire process of development. Obviously, it is going to improve the quality because we are focusing on verification and validation at each stage. You can understand that. So it will improve the quality. Discipline approach. It is well-documented, systematic, disciplined development approach. So it is going to improve the quality as well as the performance of the entire development cycle in terms of money, in terms of time. You have better monitoring as well as control. All these aspects will be very well taken care by this V-shape. Error detection, earlier detection, which will reduce the risk of major issues, and it will reduce the cost also in terms of time spent on particular issue, resolving the issues and risk associated with that. There is a documentation and traceability. These are very, very vital, important aspect, because anything you improvise or any modification you do in terms of requirement or in development or design, it has to be traceable. Why it has to be that you made some changes? You should know it, why the reason behind the changes and how they are traceable to the previous phases. Okay, so documentation is crucial, especially in IT industry. We know that there is a lot of churning of manpower, and this is documented. Any newcomer can accept and understand the things very quickly. User involvement, that is a key part of it. Since the user is involved at various stages, especially during the requirement and acceptance testing phase, so he is there to ensure that the project is going in the right direction with minimum issues before deployment. Of course, there is a disadvantage. V-shaped model is rigid, does not handle changes easily because it has got flow and requirements are little bit, we need to be a very much freeze before going ahead. Okay. So assume stable requirement. Again, V-shaped like waterfall, it assumes stable requirement. Okay. But the process is little bit integrated. Testing and development process is well integrated at various stages. Late software delivery, it may take time because every stage we require a testing, and testing may take some time. Again, there is a correction. So improvisation, testing, improvisation, verification, validation, all this consume time. So it may be delivered in later time axis, it will go into extend. High risk and uncertainty model can be risky for project with a high uncertainty or complex requirement. So this type of model, again, since it is rigid like waterfall, complex model or the model which required a lot of changes over a period is not suitable. Only thing, things are very clear and at the very initial stage and very much freeze, then only we can go with that. Limited customer involvement, again, the customer involvement is there, but not to the extent as we discuss about prototyping. It is going to cost us more because emphasis on more on documentation, testing. So testing itself is a costly affair. You need a tester team with all automatic software to test it properly. And rigorous testing is involved in this process. So it is going to cost in terms of time as well as money. Okay, we are moving on the next model, which is spiral model. Now, why it is called spiral? See, you can see, make out from this figure, going from innermost circle to the outermost circle, it is like a spiral moving from smaller radius to the larger radius. So it is evolving sort of nature. And majorly it can cover four quadrants, right? From planning, risk analysis, design and engineering, and then testing. Okay, so that part, and it is quadrant wise at every stage, it goes on expanding. So spiral has got some sort of, you know, natural ability to expand and evolve, right? So it is going to help us the handling the complex projects, right? So we have these four quadrants which are covered, and it is evolving. All these quadrants we are going to take care subsequently, and that is what help us. See, most important advantage is risk management. It primarily focuses on identifying the mitigating the risk early in the project life cycle. So when you start from the innermost cycle, there the requirements are less, and as the requirement and the scope expand, we are going to incorporate more and more complex aspects. So risk you are taking care at various level, which itself minimizes the potential risk aspect. Then it is going to the flexibility and iteration. The model support iterative development. It allow repeated refinement. This itself gives us advantage that it is a scope of improvement. It is flexible, unlike the previous model we discussed. So it has got built-in ability to accept the new requirements or scope expansions, because we are going to have evolving aspect. Customer involvement, obviously there. Model encourage the continuous customer involvement through each integration process. And there is a feedback quadrant which gives us the aspect that it improves. Progressive refinement, the system develops incrementally. So it is going through the process of slow but steady and proper development of system, where everything goes hand in hand, testing, user interface or user involvement. So it is like refinement from previous version to the next version. This allows the gradual improvement and refinement. This is very important aspect of this particular model. Early identification of problem, since it is evolving from the smaller scope to the larger scope. So every stage is any issues which will be taken care by and identified. Documentation control, obviously there, because this is a very crucial part, documentation control, tracking, because the project aspect, we are going to have that even irrespective of which model we are handling. Scalability, this is a very important aspect. Spiral model is suitable for large, complex and high risk project. It is iterative nature, allows the better handling of project complex and uncertainty. Something which is technologically evolving, something which is basically customer base also, you don't know how it is going to expand. A cloud-based application which has got elasticity, sometime business shrink, sometime it expand. So all these aspects, you know, scalability, that aspect will be taken care by this type of model. Of course, it has got drawbacks. Complexity is more, it is supposed to be meant for handling more complex projects. So complexity is part of it. High cost, because people testing process itself become more complex, and that's why the development cost is more. And it is meant for higher or large scope of projects. Time consumption, because we are going to improvise every stages iteratively. So there is a assessment, development and verification, validation, all this part is part of it. So it is going to consume time. We require expertise, because every stage we have to have analysis and improvisation. So skill manpower is very, very partly important in this entire process. While the model is designed to handle changes, managing these changes effectively can be challenging. See, it is going to expand and it is going to absorb the changes, but the changes is to be systematically absorbed into the project, and that itself is a difficult aspect of this model, and it is more complex aspect because every iteration we have to think what way the changes are being adapted, implemented, documented, so versions are there and they are tracked properly, traceable are there, traceability is there, important. Uncertainty endpoint. Iterative nature spiral model means that the final product may not be clearly defined from the outset. So on day one, you are not very clear about what will be my final outcome. So things evolve continuously. The new scope creep in and the aspect goes on changing. So that is one uncertainty, it is always associated with such models.